Book of Ephesians 5. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word tonight. Ephesians 5. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Matter of fact, that's not an option, it's a commandment to the child of God. Isn't it a blessing the day the Lord saved you, but He said, you know, that's not all there is to it. We ought to stay so filled with His presence that we know exactly what He's wanting to do in our lives and in our hearts. Isn't it amazing? Ephesians 5:18, He talks about being filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 19, He talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ache you, break your heart ain't going to help your marriage tonight. And a tear in my beer sure ain't going to bring good things to your house tonight. But it's spiritual song, like what Brother David talking about. Something that where the Spirit of God moved on a man and He wrote a song to help you in your life and in your heart. It said making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't matter if you can't tote a tune in a bucket. Just sing out of your heart. It'll be all right. Giving thanks always for all things to God. I ain't got nothing to thank Him for. You don't? Can you see to read tonight? Who you got on a pew by you? Matter of fact, folks buried loved ones today didn't think they had much to thank Him for that wasn't there no more. You need to quit hunting for the perks of life to thank Him for. Amen. If God's got to pump and prime you to serve Him, you ain't going to do much serving. Verse 21, submitting yourselves like this one to another. It's a two-way street. Macho man, it ain't her fault. Mr. Egotistic individual, it ain't all about you, buddy. Lady, I know nothing don't suit you much and you ain't happy with nothing. Matter of fact, if you had a gold walnut tree in your yard, you'd probably bellyache. You'd probably be saying, why ain't there gold walnuts in the springtime and instead of the fall? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We've lost that in our country, ain't we? And it's something F.O. with beer cans out on God's church prop. Ain't it amazing? Y'all might well sit down. I'm rambling. Ain't it amazing the gazebo we had out here one morning, went out there to sit down and study, and somebody stole God's rockers off His porch. Ain't that amazing? No fear of God no more. How come we got to have an alarm in this church? No fear of God no more. Verse 23, for the husband's the head of the wife. That's all we want to hear of. I know you wished I'd hush and gone home right now. But it don't end there. Boy, this thing been a burning my heart all day. I said, Lord, I was going to try to get in the book of Revelation tonight. He said, well, do you want to try to help people or just go through routine? I said, I guess I better try to mind you, Lord. I said, Lord, it'd be a lot easier to sort of go over what I done know a little about. He said, it'd be probably best you just stay in that study all day and study. Husband's head of the wife, it is Christ the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as this church is subject to Christ, we ought to never forgive that. That's another sermon, isn't it? So let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Tonight, I want to talk about three things I feel like that goes together. First of all, the role of the husband. Number two, I want to deal with the response of the wife. And number three, I want to talk about the results of the home. First of all, the role of the husband. Two words dominate Ephesians 5. One is submission and love. You'll notice in verse number 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That blessed oil is what makes the machinery of the marriage run smoothly. I am so thankful for these young couples that are faithful at the house of God. Somebody say amen right there. You older couples in the Lord tonight, you know yourself if the devil can get them out yonder, he's got them. Everybody in the house been married over 30 years tonight, raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. They still some marriages go 30 years. But I can tell you one principle they all had. They wanted to be together more than they wanted to be apart. 30 years I celebrated that where God run His hand in my life, introduced me to one of my best friends, to my name. 30 years. That's older than some of you are. So don't look at me cock-sided when I say something tonight. If you ain't even 30 years old yet. I know a few things. This ain't my first rodeo. This ain't the first sermon I've preached neither. But I've noticed that in this study of the Word of God, the husband has a role. We wonder why wives don't do right. I can tell you, because a lot of times we ain't fulfilling our role. Wife responds to the husband. And he run a parallel I never really just dug into of the simulation of what he says. He says, verse 23, the husband's the head of the wife, is Christ is head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. And 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I ain't got enough time tonight to cover all of that. But I do have a little time to cover a few things about this love of Christ. Matter of fact, there's three things the devil loves to mess with. The mind, ministry, and marriage. And I wonder how our Sundays would be if all of our homes was what this book wanted them to be. Matter of fact, not our Sunday. I wonder how our Tuesday night supper table would be if we lived like this book said to live. You know, have you ever went to the doctor, seen one of the best doctors in town, and he prescribed you something, you come home, and she said, honey, what did the doctor say? He said, well, I got so-and-so. Well, what did he do? He gave me a prescription. Well, did you get it filled? No, I didn't get it filled. Well, how's that going to help anything? If you can know all about this Bible from cover to cover, but if you don't apply it, it ain't going to help nothing. Ain't going to help nothing. Now, he said in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. You better know to have the home that Christ wants us to have. We better be filled with the Spirit. Because we not filled with the Spirit, it gives us a lot of instances to get filled with other things. Now, the role of the husband, verse 21. One of the biggest keys to each relationship is submitting. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Men, did you know that's in the Bible? All we hear about is she's supposed to submit to me. What about you supposed to submit to her? And I've not turned sissy on you or nothing. I'm just going to preach to you. I mean, I got ego too. Oh, man, I'm boss at my house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Huh. But something goes a little further than ego. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I believe the key to each relationship, submitting. That word means to put under, by the way. Or to subdue. Or to obey and obey. Man, some of you, you ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue. You think it's all about you. And that's why you're not going where God wants you to go. It's the thing of submitting, to put under, subdue. You know, sin entered through one man's disobedience. Disobedience is an awful thing. And salvation was wrought through another's obedience. In Philippians 2 and verse number 8, as we give this analogy, Jesus told us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Then we better know a few things about how he loved the church. Can I hear some amens tonight? Ain't no sin. You can climb on that month pew. I'm going to preach to you whether you head up or head down tonight. We better find out what he's done for the church. If I'm to love my wife, how am I to love her? Well, in Philippians 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, the Lord was obedient and he humbled himself. Matter of fact, humbleness is not weakness tonight. As Brother Dana gave one of the greatest illustrations with Brother Dennis that I've ever seen. You know something? Anybody can bow up. Except some of you. But anybody can bow up. And say the wrong thing and have an old smart mouth. Lord, I won't tell you. Ain't no sense in me going there. Camp meeting, my sinus got all messed up, awful. I had to preach and I know things just getting worse. And I found this nurse practitioner down there that I love. I just love the old girl. She's just wonderful. She comes by the church. She found out I pastored here. She's from Ramburn. She said, "Preacher, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Man, that's awful. All my throat. Eyes swole shut." She said, "Well, open up your mouth a minute." She said, "Whew, you just got the old-timey snot throat." I like her. I can understand that. I said, "That's exactly right, honey. I know that. Now I need to get well." She said, "Preacher, I'm going to fix you right up. Be a nurse in a minute." She come in with a tray and had two shots. But I tell you, a lot of you just got a smart mouth. Smart mouth. You know, we better understand what Jesus wants us to be in our home. He says that this thing of submitting, then he talks about this thing of love in verse 25. Husbands, love. That word is agape. It's the highest kind of love in our Bible. Matter of fact, it's a spontaneous love. It carries the idea of making much of a person. Absolutely making much of who she is. That's the way we are to love our wives. Now, if we're going to talk about this submitting and this love, and if Christ loved the church, well, let's talk about this a minute. What about the proof of His love? How do you know Christ loves you? Well, in Galatians 1 and verse number 4, Galatians 1 and verse number 4, there the Bible says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Now, he said he gave himself for our sins. I've heard people say this, well, she's so ugly, I can't love her. I wonder how come Christ loved you. I wonder if me and you really got what we deserved, would we be here tonight? Ain't you glad God gives mercy instead of justice? Matter of fact, the proof of His love, He gave Himself for sinners. God died for sorry people. God loves sorry people. That's what gets me with this old religion world. That all this goody two-shoes, this fairy tale land, honey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. There are no good ones and no bad. We're all level at the foot of the cross. We all have to be born again by the grace of God. It's just some easier to love than others. We were all so wicked. The proof of His love. He gave Himself for it. And I like this, who gave Himself. I wonder how much of ourself are we giving to our marriage? Wonder how much of me am I giving to the marriage? The proof of His love. Then number two, the passion of His love. What great passion Christ had for His church. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, what great passion Christ had for His church. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Christ died for us in spite of how we were acting. Some of us was in some bad places doing some bad things that none of us care about talking about tonight. But there was a great passion that came to you because that Christ loved you. I wonder what happened to our passion. What happened to the girl that I was driving 230 miles one way for and give up anything that she asked me to give up just to be with her? Passion. Do we have any idea what kind of passion that the love of Christ has for us? He has a great passion to be with us. I believe a lot of times we forget about this passion. We forget about what we have. We're creatures of habit, and we get so adjusted. I don't care if you are adjusted to $50 a week, you adjust, or $20,000 a week, you adjust. And we forget about that passion that we used to have. Do you remember about this passion? He said He commendeth His love toward us. Do you remember how that she absolutely just swept you off of your feet? Some way or another, she got your attention because you married her. Somehow or another, she got your attention. So this passion of love. And you know something? I hear this a lot. Well, my wife just ain't doing nothing back. I wonder what you done back for Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's easy to give when you're getting paid something back. But when you give and give and give, I wonder how much Christ has give us and we gave simply nothing back. Passion of His love. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 8. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Oh, what great passion. Can anybody fathom the love Christ had for His church, that He gave away everything heaven had to offer to come to a world like me and you live in? Isn't that amazing? When Jesus was born in the cradle in Bethlehem, honey, that wasn't His first day. Jesus has been here a long time. He was God-man, God manifested in the flesh. God was born in a cradle. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? When Mary reached down to change that little old baby, she held God in her hand. Can you imagine as He got up and He was walking through the streets of Galilee and the things that He was so abused with, He gave up all of that world that we only read about to come because He loved. What about when He got on that old Roman cross and gave His back to the smiter's post? They beat Him above recognition, and He loved us with a love that only a love of passion could possess. It amazes me He loved us like that. And yet we don't want to love Him back. Love, the proof of His love, the passion of His love. But then, I want you to notice in Ephesians 5, in verse number 2, there is a pain of His love. In Ephesians 5, in verse number 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Who told you it didn't hurt to be married? Pain. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to stay married, you're going to experience some pain. She ain't going to do what you think she's going to do. And she's not going to respond the way you think that she ought to respond. Pain. There. Now watch this. He said a sacrifice. So it tells me that if Christ loved His church, it took a sacrifice. Then shouldn't that let me and you know that we ought to make some sacrifices to make our marriage be what it ought to be? Everything's not just easy street. Man, I wish I could just come in, prop my feet up in a chair and say, honey, move, you in the way of the remote. And honey, have everything right in my lap and honey, have all my clothes laid out and ironed. Now, some of y'all may have it that way, but it don't go that way down at the Bowman house. There takes sacrifice. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had a bad day? What's wrong with my wife? Lord, brother, one of my good preacher friends, he's preached here. He come home the other day, and his little boy run and grabbed at the door and said, Daddy, don't come in. He said, why? He said, Mama's mad. I wonder, have you ever felt not like fooling with you? Have you ever felt like that maybe it was just your day off not to do everything? Sacrifice. There's a pain of God. Friend, Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice to get me and you the church tonight. He died on a cross and gave everything. And we hit just a little old bump in the road while we want to just throw our hands down and quit. And honey, if the devil can knock you out of the race on one little sacrificial thing, if he can break you down with hard things, then honey, he's going to knock you out of this thing of being together. He's going to knock you out. The pain. It's pain. It's going to be times, young couples, that you're not going to feel like giving it. You're not going to feel like doing things that you're going to have to do. But I can tell you right now, it's going to take a sacrifice and you're going to have to do them for it to work. It's not a one-way street. And so we see this thing of love. There is the pain of love. Watch this in Colossians 3 and 19. I want to ask some men something here right quick. Colossians 3 and verse 19 before I get to this verse, because the Lord don't give it to the wives. He says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know what that means? Bitter, it means to be sharp. Don't be a smart mouth. Does anybody like vacuuming? Anybody like washing dishes? Does anybody like taking off storm windows and cleaning them and putting them back on? Does anybody like getting up out of the bed at 5:30 in the morning because she nudges you and said, honey, garbage man's running? There's going to be some things that you don't want to deal with. And if we're going to love our wives as Christ has loved the church, it's going to be some times that we could be bitter against them, sharp at them. I imagine some of you come and say, hey, how's this sound? Click. Boy, that's hip and stuff, ain't it? Pain. Isn't that amazing that he says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know why? They don't think like us. I don't see the need of a real clean house. This is what I don't see. I don't see the need of making the bed up and we're fixing to tear it up tonight. I don't see that need. Why are we going to get everything? Because she knows, honey, about 9:30, this preacher's going to bed. Amen. And some of you boys may sleep in the doghouse, but this preacher don't. He sleeps in his bed. But you know what? If that means something to her, the best thing I can get up and do is say, hey, honey, let's make a bed up. What does that 45 seconds do to her at 6 o'clock? Honey, let's make the bed. I ain't making up no bed. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And just blow out the door. She walks in blowed up like a bullfrog at 6 o'clock and ain't nothing getting better yet. Don't be bitter against them. Things mean a lot to them, don't mean nothing to us. I heard somebody get tore up about this little thing. These little things make big things. And it's the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Same way in a church. It ain't one big thing eats a church up. It's a lot of little things eats a church up. Same way with a business, running a business. It's not one big thing. It's going to put you. It's all them little daily operation things that eat you up. Pain of love. Be not bitter against them. And then, watch this. The power of His love. Oh, it's amazing what kind of power that love has. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and fathers of murderers, for manslayers. And he goes on then in verse 11, he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. The power of His love. He gave when we were ugly and defiled. My wife's ugly to me. Does that supposed to change that we're not to love them? What was we saying to Christ? What was we doing to Christ before He saved us? And so He gives the illustration that we are to love our wives as He's loved the church. Then the power of His love. But then the permanence of His love. John 13 and verse number 1. Well, what a powerful verse in John 13 and verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The permanence of His love. I want to say His love does not grow weary. Brother Joe, how many times should it grow weary? His love is not diverted by other objects. I'm going to say this because I'm a hunter. Sometimes when deer season comes, we have widows in the church. His love is not diverted. He loves us all the time. His love's not diverted by other objects. And I want to say this. Whew, Lord, I'm fixing to shout right here. Don't nobody have a fit. But His love does not cool with years. Hey, put this in perspective. 233 miles below Nashville, Tennessee to Bowden, Georgia. I can tell you exactly how long it'd take you to drive it. Because I've done it about 16 straight weekends. You know why? I was in love. And you know, when I got off work, I could barely wait to get home. I could just barely wait to get over here to see her. Has that cooled off? Has Christ's love cooled off on us? I hear a lot of people say, well, this ain't the same. We've been married for years. Why ain't it? Lord, I'm in love with my wife. I have a great, my wife's my friend. Don't tell me you can't be married 30 years and not be in love. I'm more in love today than I was 30 years ago. I didn't know nothing about her except she sure was pretty. She had beautiful red hair and a great attitude. And by the grace of God, all that has worked out wonderful. His love is not cooled down. His love is unchanging. Undenying and everlasting. A man should not use his wife's faults and weaknesses as reasons for neglecting her or failing to give her the love and attention that he vowed to her. Boy, I've heard this. Yeah, my wife just don't look the way she used to. What about you, bud? And like you just fits to be on the front of the Esquire magazine any day. I hear that a lot. Well, she... And boy, this really gets me. My old lady. 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 My wife, but... She ain't your old lady. It's your wife. God has entrusted with you something precious. Ladies, y'all might ought to huddle up around your preacher tonight when we leave this step. Some of you ladies tote them 38s. You may ought to go and cock a hammer on them tonight. Then the protection of His love. How does Christ protect us? 1 Peter 3:7. Ladies, I hate the world's put you on our level. I hate that they got behind all these equal rights for women. Because they've brought you down on a bad level. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. She's a weaker vessel. We're made to protect our wife. A man that had hit a woman, he's a wimp. I mean, he's just a little old spiny. Anybody can whip a little old girl. There's a few here I'd love to see some of them pop. That'd be worth a mission. But I mean, let's think about it. They're the weaker vessel. And so we ought to treat them like that. We ought to treat them like that. There's nothing wrong with opening the door for your wife. Nothing wrong with realizing that, you know, she is the weaker vessel and we are to protect. I wonder how much protection Christ gives His church. We're no match for the devil, are we? Protection of love. And then verse 28, back over in that text. Boy, I want to show you something right here. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 28, I want to show you something. Ephesians 5:28. I like, come on with me today. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. Brother Dennis, you know what one of the writers said? He said, the body, a man heeds its signals and desires of its well-being. Our body starts letting us know when something's wrong. And when your body starts bothering you with pain, you know what? You're going to stop and you're going to see about it and get it fixed. Christ said we're to love our wives as our own body. And when we start seeing them warning signs of them ailments and aches and things out of regulation, we need to stop and get it seen about. Because they'll tell you every time. You know something? If something goes to hurting in my back and it's absolutely became a problem, it's telling me something's not right in my body. And so maybe your wife's trying to tell you something ain't right. Maybe it'd be a good time to stop and see how to get it fixed. Love as our own body. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. I want to get off that gear and switch gears, but stay on that verse and say this. If you got nice clothes, she ought to have nice clothes. if you got a nice shotgun, and if she likes a shotgun, go get her one. If not, go get her a nice pocketbook. You know, some of you women can say amen, preacher, because you can always call and we'll come running. Now we're going, I mean, really. That drives me wild. A guy driving a brand new four-wheel drive pickup truck and his wife driving something she may not even get to the grocery store in. We got a good car salesman here if you need to buy one. That's her own body. How come you want to gripe? Because she wants to sort of fix herself up and look nice. May do you good to look mirror for you walk out. Toothbrush ain't hurt nobody. Bar soap goes a long way. Like Mama said, boy, you can't always have nothing, but you ain't got to go nasty. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Well, to take care of ourselves. Matter of fact, the way you want her is the way you're going to keep her. Last night, boy, I went out, Brother David, on our anniversary. Praise God, 30 years. I walked out and said, honey, where do you want to go tonight? She said, so-and-so. I said, ooh, wonderful. Wonderful. Y'all more consumer friendly over here. Let me get on this side of church tonight. Wonderful. But you know, I went in the closet and boy, I got me outside. You know what? I wanted to wear my jeans and my Crocs and my old sweatshirt so bad. She is all dolled up. You know, I got to thinking. When I drove from Tennessee courting that girl, how did I keep myself? Man, it wasn't a hair out of play. Y'all remember them in the 70s, Brother Dave, them big wide flare belt bottoms and big stacked shoes about this tall. Son, that's a sight now. I mean, your stomach will break your neck about 2 days falling. I mean, you'd fall for 2 miles. Man, I remember before I got over, I'd pull that visor down that mirror, son, I'd get that swoop going. Now I ain't got to worry about no swoop. Praise God, I can hit her with a dish rag and come on the house of God. Somebody save me right there tonight. Oh, Lord, I'd rather be saved. I'd rather be saved tonight than anything I know. I'd rather be in a pair of broken shoes and saved and to know my name's in glory land than anything I know tonight. It's just wonderful being saved, and it's wonderful being a preacher. Love her as her own body. What all we got? What she got? House full of young'uns taken care of while you out doing what you want to do. Stooge. I don't like to do a lot of things. But I've learned that Christ wants me to do them. I ain't geared that way. I ain't either. I sure ain't. My mama, listen to me, Miss Flo. My mama picked up everything, hit the floor in my room. I didn't want for nothing. I was my mama's baby. I'm still her baby tonight. I didn't want for nothing. My socks hit the floor. I was never told to pick up my stuff. Till I married my wife. What's your problem, buddy? Amen. What's your problem, buddy? A man come here being a dummy, but he ain't got to leave out that way. The body gives signals, don't it? If something go to hurting on you, you're going to sit back and get it fixed, are you? If I hear something going on with my wife and I know it's a continual process and ache, I need to stop and get that thing fixed. I said all that to say this. The role of a husband depends on a lot about the response of the wife. Now, I'm fixing to dive in there. Ladies are responders. They react. Matter of fact, when a woman senses agape love, she has most of the time no problem, or she feels no resentment to submit to her husband. Let me ask you something. You know how much Christ loves you? You got any problem submitting to Him? You know how much He loves you? You got any problem submitting to Him about coming to church? You do it because you know He loves you. We love Him because He first loved us. You went after your wife. You got her. She's a responder. And that's the way it's worked all through this Bible. The man's the head of the home. He's the leader. Them young'uns bowed around this altar Sunday morning. It ought to have been some lights go on in some mom and daddy. It went on in this preacher. God showed me to do that before I got over here Sunday morning. And whether we're going to do anything else or not, we're going to do that. Did you notice, this is what amazed me today, I got to think about it. Did you notice how they wasn't just running wild, the little old young'uns knew what we was doing? Turned their little head up, hiked their little hind end up, and went to praying. Ain't that something? What's that worth to you? If I'm leading, if I'm a leader, that means people's following me. Where am I taking them? I'm to be the head of that house. Christ to be the head of me. If I'm following Him, I can tell you right now where I'm taking that bunch under me, to Him. Man's love is the cause. The woman's love is the consequence. Listen to this. In marriage, two people become one person. After God married Adam and Eve, He called the name Adam. They were two people with one name. In sin, she loses her identity in His. And I know some of you don't like that, but that is the principle of the Scripture. Genesis 5, verse 1. Watch this. Mark it in your Bible. We'll be closing in a minute. Genesis 5. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they was created. They become one name, one person. Ladies, it's easier and it's safer to obey than to prescribe and direct. Matter of fact, ladies, you are out of your place when you don't submit. Whether we like this or not, I don't care if it's fixing to be 2010. I don't care if it's fixing to be 4011. God has boundaries. And God's book still means what He wrote down. Head of the man's Christ, end of conversation. Head of woman is man, end of conversation. And if you get any of those things out of bound, you're going to be out of bound. Ephesians 5:33, ladies. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That word reverence means to be in awe of, to hold in high esteem. You ought to reverence your husband and hold him in high esteem. God has given you exactly what you need. Colossians 3:18, ladies. Colossians 3:18. I want to place ever use this for the ladies. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That word means proper. Titus 2:1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patient. That the aged women likewise, that they behave in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You don't need to bring a reproach on the gospel of Christ. I don't care what that Bible says. I ain't submitting. You know what you're doing? Instead of not only acting like a Jezebel, you're bringing a reproach on Christ and this Bible. 1 Peter 3:1. I'll show you how important it is about behavior, ladies. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, may without the word, be won by the conversation or behavior of the wives. Isn't that amazing how much power of influence a woman has on a man when she's in subjection to him? A lot of you think you're trying to get over him to get him under. If you get in subjection to him, you got more power than what you know. He said, if your husband's not saved, ma'am, if you'll get in subjection to him and live according to this Bible, if he's abusing you, get out. You submit yourselves to him as Christ. And he said, by your lifestyle and your behavior, you could win him by your influence. The role of the husband. The response of the wife. It matters the role of how they respond. And then lastly, there's the results at home. I wonder what a difference it'd be, men, if we had our role as the husband, the response of the wife. I wonder what kind of home and little old young'uns would be raising. Far as I know, I never seen my mom and daddy get in a fuss. My kids can't say that. That lets me know you can live that way. My mama wasn't no doormat. She sure wasn't. And let me say something right there. Wives, you ought to have a say-so at home. You ought to have a say-so in decisions. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Sir, you just don't go out and buy something new and not ask her about it. It's two-way street. Submitting yourselves one to another. Staying filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something tonight in this invitation, this altar call. How are you going to get filled with the Spirit of God if you're not putting the Word of God in you? How are you going to be filled with the Spirit of God if you don't have an altar at your house praying? How can you be the leader of your home, sir, if you're not praying asking God's direction for your home? What are you going to do judgment day when you stand before God and you're going to give an account for them kids you brought in this world and how you've raised? What are you going to do? Love your wives as Christ has loved you. Folks, that's a mouthful. And I know I've done some pitiful preaching at that verse tonight. Christ has loved us so much. If we're going to love our wives as He's loved us, We better get started. And wives, you know what? When he starts loving you like that, you ought to respond. And matter of fact, if he's not treating you that way, that Bible just said if you treat him that way, you can win him to treat you that way. You're not getting nowhere doing this. You're not getting nowhere one of you wanting one way and one the other and you're dividing. You've got to come together and sacrifice some things. God help us tonight. I wonder how much better church we could have if our homes was right. How many prayers could you get through if you was right? I want to open up this altar tonight. Don't even need no playing. I just want to ask you something, what you need tonight. I mean, I really do. I for some reason or another, God's put this on me today. And I just want to ask you, I believe with all my heart God can help your home tonight. I believe it. I believe that He can change any situation. I believe it. But I believe we've got to do our part. God help me to love my wife as You've loved me. Help me, Lord, to be the man of God that You want me to be. Help me to be the preacher in this church that You'll be pleased with. Help these families tonight.